Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
Tuned in on the wrong night. You're not confused. It is Tuesday night, and Under a Shady Tree has moved. So I want to welcome everybody to the new Tuesday night Under a Shady Tree. Terry and Robin have consolidated. We've consolidated our shows to allow ourselves more time for our new project that we'll talk about at the end of the show. But I did want to, of course, introduce my lady, my love, my partner, my best friend, my beautiful, amazing wife. Hi, Robin.
Hi, honey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing well, and excited about everything. You know, we've got the new projects going on, and you know, consolidating, moving Shady Tree to Tuesday, because, I mean, we just couldn't pass up all that great music for Shady Tree. And, you know, we're still going to do interviews. We're still going to do rituals. We're still going to do teaching. We're just going to do it all on Tuesday night instead of spreading it out. So all of the ritual schedule will remain the same. And every full moon, every Sabbath, there will be a ritual, and then we'll just teach and do interviews on the other nights. So you're not going to miss anything. We're just going to take Thursday nights for our wilderness wellness projects. Then again, we'll talk more about that at the end of the show. Welcome again to the first Tuesday night episode of Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And tonight our topic is issues facing healers.
Right.
You know, issues, you know, facing healers in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we venture forth much more publicly with our healing and the work that we're doing, a lot of things are coming to mind, a lot of considerations, and so we're going to have a somewhat more public conversation with our listeners about this topic. And if you are if you're listening tonight live and you are interested in joining the conversation, asking a question, or throwing your 2 cents worth in, feel free to call us. The number is 646-564-9714, and you can join in the conversation and ask your questions and, you know, maybe give us a few pointers, because, you know, we're not experts. We're just doing it along with you guys the best we can. So, Robin, what was the first issue that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that practitioners face probably on a regular basis is, you know, how do you make somebody feel comfortable when they first come to your practice? It's their new first time there, and, you know, depends on what kind of healing modality you're doing, you know, Reiki, acupuncture. These have more direct physical contact with the body. And
yeah.
You want to make sure that, you know, people are okay with the way you're going to touch them, and people are okay with what's about to happen, and they have realistic expectation about, you know, yes, I'm going to have to touch you here a little bit, or I'm going to have to, you know, ask you to take, you know, some clothes off. And so you have to be upfront about that and open and honest and sincere about it and let people know that this is normal and you know, not to fear you in any way.
Right. Well, I actually have some pictures when I'm doing Reiki. I have pictures that show people the hand positions I'm going to use.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm going to be putting my hands.
Right.
And, you know, no clothing needs to come off. You know, Reiki works perfectly fine through, you know, mm-hmm. any amount of clothing. It's preferable that it's, you know, just, you know, undergarments and outer, you know, and you know, indoor wear, you know. But I guess it could work equally well through sweaters and, you know, heavy jackets.
Parkas.
Yeah, parkas. But the point is that unlike acupuncture or massage type of therapies where, you know, exposed skin is necessary,
mm-hmm.
Reiki is, you know, while there is, you know, hand-to-body contact, it is through clothing and in some ways less less disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, you know, there is contact to the, you know, the chest area and the upper thighs, both front and back. So pictures give people a very good idea of what to expect, and then you have a conversation about their comfort level.
Right.
So that you can work with the client.
Mm-hmm.
But with pictures, it makes it really easy for them to understand, and then we have a more informed conversation. Because that's really what it comes down to with any client healer relationship,
mm-hmm.
is there's got to be that open communication and an exchange of ideas and information so that everybody understands and finds their comfortable place.
Yeah, agreed. Well, the other thing is, you know, sometimes I've heard some Reiki practitioners actually take pictures of the people when they arrive, and, you know, also for their records, and then take a picture of the person when they leave, so that, you know, if the person is looking fairly happy and content when they leave, then there's a record of, hey, you know, when you left here, you were happy and it didn't seem to be a problem. I think one of the things that faces any medical practitioner or anybody who's alone in a room with anybody ever is he said, she said situations.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're not letting yourself in for something like that, which we're going to talk later about, you know, people who work out of their home versus a office space versus, you know, other options and the challenges for security and safety at some of those places.
Yeah.
But I think that the bottom line is that you have to be, as a practitioner, you have to be comfortable and sincere and grounded in your space and just feeling like this is what we're going to do. It's totally normal, totally natural. It's okay. you know, are you okay? If you're not okay, this isn't going to happen, but this is what I'm going to do, and this is how it's going to be done.
Right, and again, if you have, you know, some written document to give a person some
mm-hmm.
expectation, have them sign it.
Yeah.
You know, you signed right here saying that I was, you know, going to touch you in these places,
mm-hmm.
And
that you understood it.
And that you understood, yeah. And you signed off on this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come back later and say, you know, that was not appropriate because here's the picture, here's what you signed.
Right. And, you know, and to be, if you really want to be totally anal about these things, and I do know that in some places this is the case, you can have, you know, a surreptitious camera running.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that that's a little bit overkill, but, you know, each to their own.
Yeah, well, I know that a lot of ordained ministers of all denominations and all expressions of faith
mm-hmm.
do counseling sessions. You know, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of office space has a window to the receptionist's area.
Right.
And the curtains are not drawn
mm-hmm.
when a person of the opposite gender
mm-hmm.
is the one that's being counseled, and the blinds are open so that the receptionist person or some other witness in the outside room can see in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to say a word about innate gender bias, because...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It
you
could,
know.
Could, you know, go
yeah.
ahead. Say what
well,
you're going to say. I
yeah.
jumped in, sorry.
Yep. And, you know, just because I'm a woman... having another woman come in the room doesn't necessarily mean that there might not be an issue down the road. People are strange. I think probably one of the most shocking things I ever witnessed was I was assisting a dentist, and the person was getting nitrous oxide. This person had been a patient for many, many years, and all of a sudden on this particular day, this woman decided she was going to stand up out of the dental chair and sexually grab the dentist. I mean, she just got a handful and went in for the kill. And he just, like, backed himself up against the wall and put his hands, and he looked away. And, I mean, he the poor guy was mortified. And I was like, okay, Mrs. Jones, we're going to sit down now, and it's okay. And, you know, she was just really aggressive. And it was obviously the nitrous oxide that did that to her. It lowered people's inhibitions and often, you know, made people say things or laugh, that's why it was called laughing gas, you know, at things that maybe nobody else thought were funny in that moment. But that was the most extreme response I'd ever seen to nitrous oxide. And, you know, he was, the poor guy, he was just flipped out by it.
Well, he quit using nitrous after that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, that was it for him. He was done. Yeah.
So, you know, mercifully, we're not using, chemicals that are going to alter consciousness in our practices.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, from time to time, you know, people, particularly with Reiki, do find a point, or with, you know, massage as well, find a point of relaxation to the point where their normal reactions may be, muted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, that lowered inhibition that comes with, you know, some sort of, relaxation or, you know, in this case, chemical, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the reaction can be, you know, can be there. So how do we protect ourselves from that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, a window, someone else in the building with you,
mm-hmm.
which comes up again later in another topic of the
mm-hmm.
the show tonight. Having someone there that can say, no, this was, you know, this person acted, you know, this practitioner acted appropriately,
mm-hmm.
and to be your witness and advocate can certainly be a huge protective measure that you can certainly take.
Yeah, and I know there's probably, you know, healers out there who are thinking, oh, this is all, you know, way over the top. I've been practicing for years and nothing's ever happened, and that's great.
Yet.
But I also know But I also know people who have been put into very bad situations by just whispers. I have a friend who was high priestess or high priest of his tradition, and he had a counseling session, and they were going to do a ritual, and he took this woman out into the woods to do this ritual, and when she came back from this ritual, at which he said nothing unusual happened, and I've known this man for 25 years and would have no problem myself going into the woods with him at night, and this young girl came back and started, you know, whispering to other people in his community and people who knew him about how he was inappropriate with her in the woods. And it finally got back to his wife, and it almost caused a divorce. And this woman, it was completely telling lies. And I'm not saying that will always be the case, because certainly, you know, people are on both sides of this coin. But, you know, it almost ruined his practice, and you know, he had a store. It almost ruined the store that he had. It was terrible.
Yeah. And, you know, I know him well enough that I would trust you in the woods with him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, this is a great guy. He and I don't always agree politically, but, you know, I mean, but he's a genuinely good person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I would never think anything untoward of the man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he says nothing happened,
mm-hmm.
I have every belief that nothing happened, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it can happen. I mean, those kind of stories, that's why the pictures, you know, if I have pictures and, you know, they can't say, well, he touched me close to there. Well, you looked at a picture, said I was going to touch you close to there, you
mm-hmm.
know? You know, so, you know, you got to protect yourself in this day and age.
Yeah. That's true, and it's sad, but it's true.
It is sad, but, yep. but you know, we are in a very litigious society.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to protect ourselves. I mean, this could be our families and our homes.
Yes, absolutely true. And so, you know, not to belabor the point, I think we've pretty well covered it.
Yeah.
But better to be safe than sorry, and just keep your wits about you and be careful, and don't ever agree to do something or go somewhere with somebody if you're not absolutely comfortable about it, or have somebody come to your home or you know, oh, you can only be at the office at 7 o'clock. Okay, I'll come by myself and meet you. You know, you've got to keep your wits about you.
Yeah,
and also
I'm sorry if I interrupted you. Were you done?
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, before we move on, if you are the person looking for a healer, you want to make sure that the person that you're going to is conscious of this,
mm-hmm.
is taking these kind of steps, that is, you know, ask questions. Where are you going to touch me? What is going to happen? And someone who is, you know, open and honest about how this is going to proceed is the person you want to go to. If someone's, you know, hedging their bets when they're talking to you about where they're going to touch you,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, just, you know, a word to the wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because not all of us that are doing this are equally conscious of these, you know, of these areas of concern.
Right. Well, you always hope that the person who is the healer is, you know, and I would say that probably in about 95% of the time, people who are healers are really just wanting to help people and
mm-hmm.
make them feel better and are coming at it from the best possible space mentally. But in every profession, in all walks of life, in every religion, in every, you know, ethnicity of human beings, there are always people who have a skewed
mm-hmm.
version of reality going on in their head.
Yeah, well, there are the unscrupulous among us.
Yes.
And that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So just be conscious of that. If you're the person seeking a healer,
yep.
be conscious of that as well. And, you know, then our professions can go on and grow and thrive, and people can get the treatment and help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the next topic you wanted to discuss? You want to go ahead and jump on into where, since we've hinted at it a couple of times.
Sure.
So I'll let you jump in on that one.
Okay. Well, you know, we talked a few minutes ago about being alone and that sort of thing. And one of the things you do have to be cognizant of is when you are practicing, where are you going to practice, with whom, and how do you feel about being alone in, you know, in a space with people you may not know very well. You know, it's different when somebody's been your client for, you know, 3 years and you see them every other week for 3 years and you develop a relationship with them. That's a slightly different thing than somebody who calls you out of the clear blue and says, hey, you know, I want to come see you, and by the way, it has to be 7 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, and that's not your normal office hours, but you want to accommodate them because, you know, you know they need help. Because we often, as healers, will put ourselves out for people who need us. That's why we're healers. So what do you do in that situation? And frankly, too, you know, you might need the money. You know, there's always that, too. So I think you need to have a phone call with vetting people and talking to them a little bit and finding out what their issues are before you ever let them come to your office. A lot of people do that in office. I think with today's wanting to save time and people's busy schedules, you know what, a 10 or a 15-minute phone call can certainly help in that situation. You'll have a little better feel for who you're meeting. And you know yourself when you're talking to somebody on the phone, if they seem genuine and open on the phone, chances are they're going to be okay. But that's still no guarantee. But this way, before you hang up, you get their phone number, you get their address, you get do they have any medical insurance that might cover the procedure, so you're getting their work address and work information. You're going to gather as much information about them as possible. You're going to take a small health history. So you're going to have some ideas about, you know, you maybe have their doctor's phone number. So you're going to have ways of hopefully not ever needing to, but having to, you know, get in touch with them if anything does go wrong.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, a few minutes to get to know them a little bit on the phone so they're not walking into your office cold. And I would say, honestly, the first time you have anybody come to a space, either if you're working out of your home or working in one of these shared office center kind of situations where, you know, I might be there at 7 o'clock at night, but nobody else might, and I don't know if anybody else will be there, bring somebody along.
Yeah. Have the buddy system.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly until you get to know a client.
Yes.
Yeah. Mhm.
I often wonder about real estate agents. You know, there are a lot of women who are real estate agents who are actually showing homes to people they've never met before and going indoors with, it could be a guy, it could be two people, it could be four people. And I know a lot of real estate agents carry guns for that very reason. And I'm not advocating that healers carry guns. I know that would probably upset a lot of them. But you know what? Mace. You know, something like that. My mother, who's 76 years old, just told me last week on the phone that she just bought one of those little electronic shock things to shock people with if they get too close to her, because she was in the Walmart and felt that the people were threatening her, and she didn't have anything to. She realized she didn't have any way to protect herself, and she didn't want to get a gun. But she wanted something to scare them off, and so she happened to see this thing online, and she ordered it. I was shocked. My mother, the dyed-in-the-wool New York City liberal for a million years, I was like, really? Wow, okay.
this coming from the woman who has, you know, who has her carry permit and a 9mm and is perfectly capable of using it.
Oh, me, yeah. I mean, yeah, I have no problem. I mean, we talked about that. I was faced with a situation years ago where it was myself and Persephone alone in the house, and I had an alarm, and the alarm system said, you know, front door open, and I went, uh-oh, and it was like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in the house by myself, and, you know, it's that sense false of security. Well, I have an alarm. Well, yeah, the alarm went off, but you know what? When I you know, talked to the police, and I said, "Hey, my alarm went off, and yeah, you need to get here." "Oh yeah, we'll get there. We've only got two officers on call this evening, and they should be there in 45 minutes to an hour." And here it is, 1 o'clock in the morning. I live in the woods. There's nobody around, and it's myself and my daughter. She was like 7 or 8 at that time, and I'm sitting in the house going, "Well, great, if there's somebody in the house, what the hell do I do?" And their answer was, "Well, we'll stay on the phone with you." I'm like, "Well, that doesn't make any sense."
That way you can listen in while it's happening.
Exactly.
That's great.
What are they going to do, call me an ambulance after the fact? So 2.5 hours later, the police showed up. And you know what they were doing before they came to my house? And what took all their time and why they couldn't come and make sure there wasn't anybody in the house and that nobody was going to hurt my daughter and I is that there were two drunks who were beating each other up, married couple in one of the towns, a couple of towns away. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking myself and my daughter could be in grave danger if there was an intruder in the house. And the cops were just like, "Geez, we're sorry, we were late coming.
Yeah. All right. We are still taking calls.
Okay.
And wanted to let people know that we are taking calls at 646-564-9714. When you call in, it's going to say something about hitting the 1 button to be put in the host queue. We do have people that call in from time to time and just listen because it's a good way to listen when they can't log in on the Internet or anything like that. So be aware that if you do call in and we see you in the switchboard, if there's not a little flag there where you hit the 1 button, then we're going to presume you are listening. So if you want to talk on the air or ask us a question, please call in, but make sure you hit the 1 button. And we are at the bottom of the hour. Did you have anything else you wanted to hit on that topic? I think we pretty well covered it.
Well, yeah, I did.
On the same topic?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and finish, and then we'll take the break.
I was going to say, I recommend, if you have an option of not working from home when there's nobody else at home, to do that. Or find a shared space. They have lots of these artists' buildings where they're taking warehouses and turning them into shared spaces for artists and healers and practitioners of one thing or another.
Spiritual centers.
Spiritual centers. And I mean, there are all kinds of places. Even going to your local chiropractor or acupuncturist and saying, "Hey, you know, I want to do Reiki or I want to do massage. Could I rent one of your rooms when you're not here?" And you know, they can only say no. So really,
yeah, worst they can say is no.
Yeah, and then from that standpoint, you have the security of not being in your own home because you want to limit, in today's weird world, you want to limit people coming to your home who you may not know. And again, this is mostly for meeting new clients. This is not somebody that you've been, you know, treating them for 3 years and you know them well.
Right.
That's a different story. But caution is always a good thing. And this, you know, people think that this is just for women who do this, but it's not. This is for men too.
Yeah, absolutely.
In today's day and age, it doesn't take much for somebody to hurt you, whether they have a gun, whether they have,
That little electric shock thingy that your mother has.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's crazy. So,
a little bitty lady would have that
yes.
Shock thingy could take me down.
Exactly,
you know.
Exactly. Who knows what my mother might do to somebody, but no, never mind. So you never know. Don't ever assume, well, just because I'm a big, strong guy, I'll be okay. No, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
I'll be able to get my cell phone if my cell phone's right in my pocket or in my back pocket. No, that's not always the case either. Just be mindful and try to find yourself a good place to be able to practice where it's public and there's people around and there's maybe some sort of security system. And if not, always bring somebody else with you. And if you can't manage that, at least have somebody who knows where you're going and the name and all the information of your client and that you're going to call them, you know, when you're done and say, "Okay, you know, I'm done with Mr. Jones. Everything's good. I'm going home." And this way they know that if you haven't called, if the appointment is from 7 to 8 and you haven't called them by 8:30, 8:45, that maybe there's a problem and that, you know, they need to get in touch with you or call the police.
Yeah, maybe you should have them call you at the beginning of your session,
mm-hmm.
and that way your client also knows that somebody's checking up on you,
mm-hmm.
and then if your session is supposed to take a certain period of time, then you have that person call you at the end of that time,
mm-hmm.
and if they don't get you, then they call the police.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that way the client also knows that you're being checked on.
Right.
So let's go ahead and take a short break, and we're going to play a song by Sharon Knight called Porcelain Princess, and then we've got a couple of ads, and then we'll be back right after this. Everybody stick around. From our friends over at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. you can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Science is coming to recognize what we already know. There is healing power in the forest. Forest bathing and similar techniques are gaining in acceptance. Reiki Master Reverend Terry Power and Holistic Health Coach Robin McKean Power bring their years of healing experience and invite you to join them in the wild forest at World's End State Park in Pennsylvania on the 22nd of July. With them, you will connect with the ultimate power of nature to facilitate self-healing and improve overall well-being. The price for this 2.5-hour in-forest healing experience is $40 per person. Email littlestonebridge@gmail.com to register or for more information. This event is limited to 12 people, so don't delay. Email littlestonebridge@gmail.com today.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. Now, back to the show.
We'll move to Virginia. Yeah. All right, and welcome back. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. All right. And so, tonight we have been talking about issues facing healers in this day and age. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about really about protecting yourself, being alone with clients, and that sort of thing. And we've been asking for calls, and we have a caller who's going to join us and is going to add to this conversation. So let's see, Reverend Matt Thomas. Hi, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Hey,
my first
how
time.
Are you? Welcome to the show. Great.
Well, thank you. It's my first time listening, and I think it is magnificent. First, I'd like to say your in-forest healing event that's coming up. If you don't get 12 people, I'll be surprised. That sounds like a fantastic idea and very worthwhile, so
I would
advocate that very much. I wanted to just throw in a couple of other things on the topic about the problems facing healers today, the difficulties that they go through. I myself also am a Reiki master teacher for the last 15 years and have been, I've hung my shingle commercially for most of that time. So a couple of the things I wanted to throw out there to people that were thinking of also hanging their shingle, as it were, to be productive as a healer. First off is the biggest obstacle, I think, in a commercial setting, even if you're working out of your own home, is the competition mindset. Now, this world is in the state it's in, and there are plenty of people out there that need healers. So we're not at a shortage for people who need healers, and we're also not at a shortage of healers, really. So working together is very, very important. Don't look at the guy in the next town as competition. You're not fighting over the same five people who go to holistic healers. The key is to work together and educate the public in the benefits of these holistic therapies.
Right.
Likewise, getting together as a group of healers with folks that you resonate with and have the same mission, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
If you get six people, if you rent a place at $600 a month rent, and you get six people, that is sharing the overhead to a point where it's extremely affordable for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one tip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you're,
very good idea.
If you're working out of your home, it is, and I have before we went commercial location, it's very important for your safety, as the previous person said, if possible, to have an area of your home you can cordon off from the rest of the residents so that
yes.
they're only coming to your office and not having free roam of your entire residence.
Right, separate entrance.
Yes, yeah, even if it's the basement, you know, you clean it up real nice, hang your drapes and your Reiki table and everything, put the music on, get the aromatherapy out, but have a separate entrance so it is an office and not directly attached to your residence.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, not the spare bedroom, but an actual separate entrance in a cordoned off area, like you said, with a door to
right.
the residence, so that it's not, you know, not shared space.
Right. And on the topic of clients that may be inhibited or uncomfortable, or the woman coming to see a male practitioner, on the issue of liabilities. Now, when you go to a conventional Western MD, and you walk into the office, you're going to fill out like 90 different pieces of paper before they even say hello to you. So it is not unusual for people to have to do that before they seek care in any capacity. So Reiki masters as well as massage therapists and such are well within their rights and for their own liability safeties to have their client sign a release for treatment. And on that you can even if it's 3 pages long, make sure that they read it completely and understand it and then sign it. And then you keep that in their file with it. That way you are protected that they have read and understand what it is you do, how it's performed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I agree. That's what I was talking about with pictures. It's like,
you don't
understand the words. Here's a picture, you know.
Yeah. And the video idea is not a bad idea either, at least in the general area when people, not during the session, it might be.
Right.
Yeah. But on the topic of, I think this is my last thing, on the topic of working together, having all the healers work together, when we first opened our first commercial location, and I don't work alone, I have six other partners, so I'm talking from experience here on how affordable it is to work together. Pardon me. And when we first opened, of course, you know, when you open a business and the Small Business Administration tells you exactly, you know, this, the ABC of how it's done, which is unfortunately outdated. And those things really don't work anymore. For instance, print advertising, a huge waste of money.
Oh, yeah.
I do not suggest anybody fall into that trap. You will go broke in 6 months. Word of mouth is always the best. You do a couple of shows, you go to a retirement home and do free Reiki and actually teach some seniors maybe how to do Reiki themselves in their nursing home, and you will get the biggest word of mouth following you could possibly imagine. You can't pay for advertising
Absolutely.
Like that. But working together. So when we first opened our business, before we actually opened the doors, you do your research, you know, and then you look around to see who does what you do, because that's on the list of what you do before you open a business. And now we never saw our colleagues as competition, but if once you opened a business and you have overhead to cover, you start thinking that way because it gets you into that mindset, which is contrary to the mindset of a healer.
So it is very important that if you're running a healing business and you're uncomfortable or unable to go from practitioner to manager and back again, that you have somebody in the group or your significant other running the business part of it for you and doing the bookkeeping and the scheduling, so you can concentrate on being the healer.
Exactly. I ran a dental office. My first husband was a dentist for 20 years, and his job was to be a dentist, not to do paperwork, not to be the manager, not to manage the staff. He was at his best being a dentist and doing what he did. I did everything else. And that that was a very successful partnership for us because it let him do what he did best, what he wanted to do every day. He didn't want to sit down and balance the checkbook. He didn't want to make out the payroll and do the taxes and, you know, deal with all that stuff. And that was basically part of my job.
Yeah, I get a little sidetracked I get a little sidetracked when I talk, but I mentioned about we looked around to see where the other people were that do what we did, and we actually Google mapped all the other locations in Berks County, and there were quite a few of them, so we weren't that thwarted, but we actually reached out to them to show them what we had discovered, and some of the places had been open for over a decade, but still had small followings because word of mouth takes a little bit of time to develop, and some had also just opened and were... We wanted to connect with them, and we reached out to show them what we had found. We Google mapped everything, and every single one of our locations formed a circle around the county. Now, like I said before about getting into the competition mindset, it's a pitfall for the industry and what we do. And that is if people would have... Even just cross-referred people back and forth, because not everybody in each group does exactly the same thing. Or even in the case of like your you have a salon across the street, but your favorite salon person, your favorite stylist, is 30 minutes away, and you'll travel that 30 minutes to see your favorite stylist versus the convenience of what's across the street. So you still have instances like that too. And every Reiki master and every therapist is different, and it will resonate with you differently. But instead of being in competition with one another, what we should be doing is educating those thousands of people inside that circle.
Right.
And telling them about what we do. So there, I put that out there. So anybody listening that is in the business or wants to be in the business, that, I think, is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Now, I've got a question. Now, you said Berks County or Berks?
Berks. Berks. B-E-R-K-S.
We're actually just north of you in Lycoming County. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've seen work very effectively for healers who are all doing similar but slightly different things or are different places geographically is group advertising, where they'll go together to an event and, you know, say, you know, the Reiki healers of, let's say, Berks County, and we're gonna give away free Reiki today at this event, and you know, anybody you see you can give your card to and your literature to, and you know, and it's all a big share, and you have literature for all of the places out on the table. And that is that kind of cooperative spirit you're talking about. It's not a competition. We're here to serve and educate. And I have seen that work very well.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. There are plenty of people out there that need the services of the healers that are working in the community. There's more than enough. More than enough to go around. And,
yes, absolutely.
And keep us all busier than we can possibly be.
They just don't know, you know what we are and what we do yet.
Exactly.
Right. And that's one of the things we try to do with this show is to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Wilderness Wellness Adventures, that's going to be going on in a lot of different venues. So... Stay tuned. We will be bringing this all over the place, frankly. So, well, thank you for calling in. It was really nice.
Thank you for letting me get on the air there.
All of our callers bring something to the show, and your perspective is something we didn't have. And
yep, absolutely. And your knowledge and your practical knowledge, that's awesome.
Thank you so much
for sharing.
Yeah, you made the show better tonight. So thank you very much for making us look better.
Well, you're very welcome, and blessings to all.
and blessings. And, listen to the rest of the show. We're going to talk about the website that we're launching and some of the stuff we've got coming up, and maybe we can talk a little bit sometime down the road and cooperate together.
Oh, most certainly. I've been wanting to listen to this for quite a while, but I'm technologically impaired, so I just figured out how this works.
Well, now you figured it out. You can always just call into the guest line. Mm-hmm. That number never changes. Call into the guest line and just listen. If you don't hit the one button, then we just think you're in listening. We have listeners from all over the country that don't have internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if
all
you hadn't said
world.
That, I'd still be sitting there listening. So.
Yeah, he knew. He knew that's why he said that. He could see somebody in there and wondered, I wonder if they're trying to call in and talk to us. So he's a smart guy. He's been doing this a long time.
So,
well, thank you very much.
Reverend
I'll let you get on with your show.
You have a great night.
My pleasure.
Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Reverend Matt Thomas called in and added to the show.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was, very much. Let's see. We are at about 8 minutes away from the top of the hour, and I think it is time that we do talk a little bit now about our event coming up this weekend and the fact that the In-Forest Healing Experiences, and which we are going to be calling Wilderness Wellness, we are right now setting up venues for three or four more sessions between now and the winter, and depending on the severity of the winter, we're going to go until it's just too brutal cold. Because the changing of the seasons is as much a part of life and nature as the green it is today.
Absolutely.
So nature continues to be nature even in the fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout. And I did mention to Reverend Matt, and I will say it to everyone, we have launched a website. It is still...
under construction?
Yeah, under construction. It's in work. So I wouldn't quite say skeletal, but it's we've got a lot of content to add, including a blog post that I'm finishing up and hopefully we'll have up tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for a blog post and check your Facebook messages. We'll be getting that link out as well as we can. But you want to check out... littlestonebridge.org. That is the name that we've been using for years for our ministry, and everything that we do is encapsulated within littlestonebridge.org, Littlestonebridge Pathworkings. So check out that website. Look for the blog post coming tomorrow night, probably tomorrow night, maybe Thursday morning. I'm not gonna pretend that life doesn't get crazy. And look for additional dates. If you are in the area around Williamsport and northern areas, or if you just want to get in a car and have a road trip, World's End State Park is an amazing place. Those of you that have not been there, you feel like you've left civilization behind. It is amazing, deep, medium to old growth forest, and the area where we're gonna set up at the kind of the waypoint on the wilderness experience is right next to a creek. The water, the sound of the water is amazing. We're going to connect with the elements and with nature. Several exercises along the way. It is not a hike. It is a stroll in the forest.
And when we say exercises, we don't mean we're going to make you drop and do 10 push-ups.
Yeah, it's not
we
like
mean,
jumping jacks.
We mean experiences, things that you'll experience in connections with nature. So I like to actually call them like connections.
Connection experiences.
Exactly.
That's much better than exercises.
Yeah, because
well played.
I just had this vision of all these people thinking, oh, I'm going to have to jump up and down in the woods. No.
This is not strenuous at all. It is a stroll.
Yes. And it's all about relaxing. We're gonna have this beautiful, relaxed, wonderment-filled stroll in the woods. That's really what we're looking to do, is have these connective moments to sit and look at a bee buzzing in a flower, or a caterpillar crawling up a tree, or
whatever is there that
exactly.
day, because we're going to experience nature in the moment.
Exactly.
In the moment, and that's one of the experiences that we're going to work on,
mm-hmm.
is helping people to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And then we're actually midway, probably going to have a period of rest, and we have a unique surprise for everybody. We won't tell you exactly what it is, but it's also part of the healing process. And then we'll probably have a little bit of something to eat, and then we'll walk out. And if people want to, they're swimming there, and it's the beautiful Loyal Sauk River. You can go swimming. There's a concession stand if you want to eat some more. They have ice cream and all that other stuff. There are restrooms.
Good.
Yep, there are flush toilets and restrooms. And so there's a lot to do there. There's a playground. There are things to do.
Yeah. Now we are going to meet at the concession stand,
mm-hmm.
that Robin has already mentioned.
It's in the main parking lot.
Yeah. Follow the signs to the park office.
Right.
And when you turn in, you will see the concession stand before you get to the park office. That's where we're going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll carpool or everybody drive over to the trailhead.
Right.
But that will give everybody a chance to use the flush toilets before we go for a walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all gather there and talk about the experience, and then head on over to the trailhead. That will be at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
We will be meeting at the concession stand on this coming Saturday morning, the 22nd of July.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost is $40 per person. And... that's about it. So we look forward to seeing you out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can email trees@littlestonebridge.org for more information, and the PayPal account, if you want to go ahead and prepay, I think before Thursday, we were giving a slight discount.
Mm-hmm.
How much is it if they go ahead and register and pay before Thursday?
Oh, it's 20% off, so that'd be less $8, so it'd be $32.
Okay.
It's the price of lunch at the concession stand after the whole thing.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so the PayPal account for making your payments is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. So that's the account to make the early payment and get your discount, or you can just bring $40 $40 at the event. Try to let us know that you're coming, because it is limited. We want to make sure that everyone gets the full experience, and if we have too many people, it's just going to, we won't be able to give sufficient attention to everyone. So so that said, trees@littlestonebridge.org.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the other ways that people can get in touch with us, the Facebook groups and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. So if you'd like to reach us via Facebook, you can reach us on our Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Path Workings. You also can reach us individually on our individual Facebook pages, and they are, mine is Robin A. McKean, M-C-K-E-A-N, And Terry's is Rev, R-E-V, Terry Power, H-P. And you can find him at that page. You also can send us an email to either the trees at littlestonebridge.org, or you can send us an email to our old email address, which is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And that's about it.
All right. So final thoughts on the topic tonight.
Well, I think that we had it was wonderful of Matt to call in. I'm just so happy that he did. And we had some more things to talk about, but we can do that on another show. And we always revisit topics when we learn new things and sometimes, just rehash things. Sometimes it's good for people to hear it again. It is what it was supposed to be. It always is. And the universe, always creates it, and I'm very thankful that it creates the wonderful gift of its knowledge and sending great people like Matt through to talk to us and share his knowledge. They moved him to do that tonight. So
first time he's listened, and
yeah.
It was the night that he needed to call in.
Absolutely.
How cool is that?
Absolutely. That's what I say, that the contribution of the divine is validation that we are on the right track, we're doing the right work, and it just always makes me feel just wonderful. And validation is always important. So.
All right. So I guess my final thoughts are, if you're called to do this work and to be a healer, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you find you need additional information about methods or ways, if you feel called, get in touch with us. You can contact us at the trees@littlestonebridge.org email address, and we'll be happy to talk with you about Reiki training or Robin's holistic health coaching or working with the Wilderness Wellness Program.
Mm-hmm.
So, all of these are available, and if you're a client looking for Reiki, do your homework, look around, and find someone and reach out. So those are my final thoughts. And we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Thanks to our first-time listeners and first-time caller. And to all of the people that take time out of your life to share with us, we are honored and we love you all. And with that, we will wish you a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.